us who are being saved is the power of God. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. The weakness of God is stronger than human strength. So far the text. Dear friends, there are some people who are smart, and there are some people who are wise. And there are some people who are both smart and wise. And there are other people who are neither smart nor wise. And there are some seemingly smart people who have said some extremely foolish things. Spend some time on the internet. A website, legendsofamerica.com. Now go home and look it up, legendsofamerica.com. And there you're going to find a bunch of foolish quotes from some very famous people. Basketball player Shaquille O'Neal, he was once asked when he was on the Olympic team if he visited the Parthenon when he was in Athens, Greece. And this is what he said. Can't really remember the names of the nightclubs that we went to. Well, that's kind of foolish. Mariah Carey, singer. Whenever I watch TV and see those poor, starving kids all over the world, I can't help but cry. I mean, I'd love to be skinny like that, but not with all those flies and death and stuff. Now, that's kind of foolish. Remember California Senator Barbara Boxer? Now, those who survived the San Francisco earthquake said, thank God I'm still alive. But, of course, those who died, their lives will never be the same again. Frank Rizzo, ex-police chief, mayor of Philadelphia. Now, this is wise. The streets are safe in Philadelphia. It's only the people who make them unsafe. Now, Richard Nixon. Some of you may not remember Richard Nixon. I voted for Richard Nixon. Former U.S. president. He said this, solutions are not the answer. Solutions are not the answer. Al Gore, remember Al Gore? We're ready for an unforeseen event that may or may not occur. That's a redundancy. He also said this, I used to be the future president of the United States. And here's my favorite. Remember when IBM, International Business Machines, ruled the world? I mean, Big Blue was really it. Thomas Watson, former chairman of IBM, said this, I think there is a world market for maybe five computers. International Business Machines. Now here's my point. Seemingly smart people can say some extremely foolish things. Now it's also true that being smart and being wise are two separate things. And being smart does not necessarily make you wise. And wisdom and intelligence are very often quite different. And of course, there's adult wisdom, and then there's the wisdom of children. Patrick, age 10, said this: never trust a dog to watch your food. Michael, age 14, when your dad is mad and asks you, "Do I look stupid?" Don't answer him. See, there's no right answer to that. Joel, age 10, don't pick on your sister when she's holding a baseball bat. Shouldn't pick on her anyway. Talia, when your mom is mad at your dad, don't let her brush your hair. Age 9, Amir, you can't hide a piece of broccoli in your milk. You ever try that when you were a kid? I mean, who's going to look in there? Mitchell, age 12, don't sneeze in front of your mom when you're eating a cracker. And here's the best one. This boy is age 14, and he's learned a lot. Never tell your mom her diet's not working. You don't do that. Now, here's the point. Being smart does not necessarily make you wise. And wisdom and being intelligent are very often quite different things. And it's even more different is this: being wise in the ways of this world and being wise when it comes to the ways of God. Because the wisdom of this world is often contrary to the wisdom of God. Now, Solomon, the greatest, smartest, wisest man ever. Instruct a wise man, he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So I want to ask you today, are you a wise person? Are you a righteous person? Do you have an understanding of the Holy One? Do you know that's the beginning wisdom? For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. See, the message of the cross is neither foolishness nor is it weakness. But the message of the cross is invested with divine wisdom and power. Well, St. Paul wrote this to the church in Corinth. And Corinth was the most wicked city in the known world at this time. And they had temple prostitutes throughout the city. And you could worship God by going to the temple and spending an evening with a temple prostitute. Aphrodite, the temple to Aphrodite, had over 1,000. And people ate and they drank and they were merry. And the message of the cross foolishness to those who are perishing. See, it was to such people that Paul quoted Isaiah. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. See, here's the point. God's wisdom is greater than the world's wisdom. And the wisdom of God may be foolish in the eyes of the world. The Greek unbelievers trusted and sought salvation by being wise in the world. And Jews, they stumbled at the cross. Gentiles thought the message of the cross was foolish. Well, we live in more enlightened times. Our insight has grown exponentially. But I ask you this, can our scientists explain life? Can they really explain the number of stars in the heavens? Can they create life? Can they explain the building blocks of life? To truly comprehend God is a mystery. St. Paul said to Timothy, beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. He appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up to heaven. But why would God sacrifice his only Son? For us, for others, for our enemies? that the world thinks it's foolish and it's weak. But to them, it's a mystery. So much of what Jesus teaches is nuts in the eyes of the world. Jesus said, the way in is out. He said, you want to be first, you need to be the last. Are you looking for the way of success? Then it's the way of service. He said, the way of attainment, well, that's relinquishment. The way of strength, that's weakness. The way of security, that's vulnerability. The way of protection, that's forgiveness. The way of life is to die to sin and self. And Jesus taught a lot of things. You know that the way up is down. You know that God's power is made perfect in weakness. Dear friends, you want to get the most out of life, then go to where the least is. You want to be free, give complete control of your life to God. Do you want to find yourself, forgive yourself. You want honor, honor yourself with humility. You want to get even with your enemies, then bless them and love them and pray for them. Well, that doesn't sound like winning the ways of the world. What do you mean that we live by faith and not by sight? What kind of foolishness is that? You know, friends, it is foolishness. It's called the foolishness of God. And the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. You see, we trust in what God says. Well, does it make sense? Jeremiah said, this is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man. You hear that? Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength and whose heart turns away from the Lord. You know, that's a good definition of sin. Whenever we trust in ourselves or anything else other than God, that's sin. And whenever we turn our hearts away from God, that's sin. And our sins make the message of the cross seem foolish. Well, the people at Corinth rejected the message of the cross. It was foolish. It was weak. It's no different today. At the men's Bible breakfast yesterday, I mentioned a fact. The largest evangelical church in the United States of America, their pastor has said this: we are going to do away with the symbol of the cross in our building. There will be no more crosses on this campus. Well, why not? It offends some people. You reject the cross, you're rejecting the power of God. Isaiah said this: he was despised and he was rejected by men. He was a man of sorrows, and he was familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. You see, by our sins, we reject our Savior. We show that we don't value him. You cannot walk by faith and still live for self. That's why Paul says we preach Christ crucified. The power of God and the wisdom of God. We preach the cross. Jesus dies on the cross, a seeming act of weakness and foolishness. But by his death, he gained life for the world. We preach Christ crucified. The prophet Hosea poses this question. Chapter 14, he says, who is wise? And then he answers it, who is wise? He will realize these things. Who is discerning? He will understand them. And here it is, the ways of the Lord are right, the righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them. That God's ways are right. Not man's wisdom, not man's visions, not man's but we preach Christ crucified. Well, Pastor, I've heard that a million times. Good, hear it a million and one. We need to hear it. God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Once dead, he is alive. That's the power of God. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Wisdom of God. Now, I'm going to read this now, and then we're going to stand and we're going to sing it. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, pour contempt on all my pride. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Oh, the wonderful cross, the wonderful cross, bids me come and die and find that I might truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross, the wonderful cross. All who gather here by grace, run here and bless your name. Were the whole realm of nature mine, there were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Oh, the wonderful cross, the wonderful cross, bids me come and die and find that I may truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross, the wonderful cross. All who gather here by grace, run here and bless your name. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. We rise and we sing the wonderful cross.